We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome everybody to Redemption Church. How are you doing today? Excellent. We're so glad that you're here. It means a lot to us. Man, I've got so many phone calls, people with broken down cars today, not able to be here, people slipping and falling in restaurants. There is a lot going on today. So you made it. The fact that you're here, let's hear it for you. You made it today. And so be in prayer for some of those that aren't here today. People are always going through, you have no idea, stuff that people go through it. So we should always be merciful and grateful towards everyone. Welcome to Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I welcome everybody in the room. It's so good to worship with every one of you and everybody watching, listening online. We don't know how you found us on the World Wide Web, but we're glad that you're here, and we want to share Jesus with you today. Everybody said, break out.
Break out.
Jesus broke out of a tomb. He broke out of the grave. He broke out of hell. He broke out of the bonds of everything that we have trouble breaking out of. And that's more than just a great story we celebrate on Easter. That can be your story. That's why that story is really important, because that story of overcoming that Jesus did, that can be your story. But you need a plan, and he shows us the plan for freedom. In week one, we told you what to do when your hope dies. Anybody know what it's like to have your hope die?
Yeah.
How to hope again. That's the week one. In week two, we talked about when your faith croaked. So there's times that your faith just goes belly up and you have trouble believing, but there is a way to believe again. And today I want to talk about those times when there's no way forward.
Yeah. All right.
And how to turn around, how to have a turn around moment. So let's start by talking about dead ends. Have anybody ever experienced a dead end in life?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody ever drive down the road and you reach a dead end and you're like, oh my gosh, it's a dead end. How did I not know? And you feel so silly, like, to be at the dead end. So you have to like turn around, and there's probably someone sitting on there. It's like a cul-de-sac. Somebody's sitting on their porch and they're like, yeah, that's right. You get out of here. You don't belong here. And you're like, I don't belong here. I don't. And so you drive away from the dead end. Well, I know what it's like to come face to face with dead ends in life. I remember times of like career and education where it was a dead end. And I know what it's like to be thankful for a job and unthankful for a job at the same time. Anybody kind of know what I'm talking about? It's like, God, I'm thankful for this job, but if you could just get me out of here, please. Like, I don't want to be unthankful. Thank you for this job. But guess what? That happens in ministry too. And I have some places, I won't name them because I love people and I don't want to be like mean about it, but I want to tell you there was times in my life where I had ministry jobs that I enjoyed, churches I enjoyed, people that I loved, yet I worked there for quite a while and it was like a dead end. What kind of dead end do I mean? I mean like you don't get a promotion. Like that happens in ministry too. In those moments where you work somewhere and you never move forward and you see other people like come in and they like pass you up and you're like, well, that's really interesting. Okay, I'm trying to hold it together. But then you don't get a raise either. And anybody ever notice that? Like you heard someone else got a raise and you're like, what am I still doing here? I don't have a raise. I don't have a promotion. And it comes to your mind that this place for me is a dead end. I know what it feels like in my career and even in a ministerial situation. It is really painful. I know sometimes in education where you run up against brick walls in maybe a class or a teacher or the dreaded group project. Yeah, and it's like a dead end. It's like, what am I doing with these people? Oh my goodness, God, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from group projects, Lord, in Jesus' name. And then I also, sometimes our relationships are dead ends. I know some people that I thought we would be friends forever. I thought I would really be a close friend to this person. I thought, you know, we'd be like at our 40-year high school reunion and we'd be like, friends to the end. until the day I found out they are not actually my friend. It was really heartbreaking to me. It was like, and I stood at this place. I'm like, do I fight for this friendship? I'm at a dead end. All signs point to no, but here I am like a nincompoop still trying to make the relationship happen, making the friendship happen, and it clearly is not going to happen. It is a dead end. And then if that's not enough, right, career, relationships, I myself am perhaps the worst dead end of them all. Well, it got really quiet. Like, oh my gosh, what is he admitting? Here's what I'm admitting. I make mistakes over and over and over again. And I keep hitting against the same brick wall, losing my temper. Anybody a witness with that? Anybody losing to fear and doubt, having the worst thoughts about myself? You know what? There's somebody in this church that's been talking bad about me, and I'm just gonna come out and talk to a just like a real bad talk to y'all. Y'all ready? I'm gonna call this person out by name. They have been talking so bad about me in this church. Their name is Chris Fluitt. It's me.
Yeah, that's right.
Some of y'all are like, oh no, he knows. No, Jessica, it's not you. It's me. It's me, because I'm kind of a dead end sometimes. I think the worst about myself. I don't believe in myself, and I have the way of just going through life and not growing the way I should. What is that but a dead end? I know what it's like. Staring at the dead end does not progress your life. Staring at your failures doesn't help. Staring at the regret doesn't help. Staring at the same situation without any change, none of that helps. It doesn't help to stare at the dead end. And you know what dead ends are like, places that go nowhere. Let's talk about some of yours. Maybe we hit on something. How about your habits are kind of like dead ends? The way we treat food. Hey, don't crinkle that. The way we treat food sometimes is a dead end, right? Gosh, you should not eat. I'm going to say this. Don't hate me. I'm saying it to myself. You should not eat a gallon of homemade Bluebell ice cream every night. That is for me. Okay? But the way we treat food can be a dead end. And we're like, what is up with my health? And it's like, you know what's up with your health. It's called calories. That's what's up with your health. But you're just at this dead end, and you're doing the same thing over and over and over again, and it's not progressing. Or how about maybe an addiction like drugs? That's one. And there's lots of people that it would shock you that they have a hidden addiction to drugs. And sometimes they're over-the-counter medication. Sometimes it's an illegal substance. It can be a lot of things. Sometimes it can be a legal substance like alcohol. And what that is, then it's they're trying to medicate something. And they're doing this habit over and over and over again. And it's not making them any better. It's a dead end. Or how about this one? Social media. Sometimes we are so focused on social media, we actually close out real relationships for digital relationships. And somebody could be sitting across the table trying to give you their heart, but you're focused on getting one of those hearts on Instagram. Like, that is what's really valuable. And you can just go through life bucking up against the brick wall. How about your thoughts? Your thoughts can be a dead end. The way you treat yourself, the way you believe in yourself. Like, sometimes you are the only person not to believe in yourself. I would say that's a lot of the situation. Plenty of people believe in you. It's that you don't believe in yourself. And so you have this frame of mind that's a dead end. And as long as you're thinking that way, you'll never change. How about your lifestyle? The way you treat money. We talked about the way you treat food. That's a big deal. How about this one? The way we treat money. And sometimes the way we spend money, it's going out of style, and we go into a thing called debt, right? And now we're regretting our actions, but we aren't changing our actions. We're really good at the regret. You can have regret and not change because you're at the dead end. Or if not money, how about time? The way we spend time. Listen, we love video games. It's okay to spend time on a video game or spend time watching a movie on Netflix or things like that. But we've got the way we spend time cannot progress our life because it's just an over and over dead end. It's not going forward anywhere. And then your relationships. A relationship that has no commitment is a dead end. A relationship that's not growing is a dead end. I'll go a little further. A relationship that's not improving you is a dead end. I'm going to say that one more time. The best relationships in life improve you. The best relationships in life make you a better person, right? That's why your relationship with God is the best relationship of all, because it literally makes you a better person in every way. My relationship with Jesus is so good, he gets onto me when I don't love people like I should. And he says, nuh-uh, I'm not going to let you stay in this dead end. I am going to push you forward to be a better person, to be a more loving person, to be a forgiving person. Yeah. But not all relationships are like the Jesus relationship. Yeah. And sometimes we have these relationships that are so stagnant, and they're not growing, and there's no commitment. But yet we stay right there at the dead end. I got one more for you. Might surprise you. It's religion. Religion can be a dead end. Yeah, just going through the motions of tradition. Well, it's Sunday, it's time to go. We're gonna go, and then we're gonna leave unchanged. That's a dead end, right? It's anything, any pathway that leads nowhere is a dead end. And sometimes with religion, if we aren't surrendering our heart, if we aren't confessing that we need to change and then find that change and then make those changes, then we are at a dead end. And yeah, religion can fit the bill of all of that. I want to tell you that people spend too long in three ways. Here they are. Staring at their dead end is number one. They will just stay there. They need to change, but they don't. In fact, it's all they can think about. Some people are just happy to have any relationship, so they just stay there. They're happy to have any job, so they just stay there. It's so hard to change, and so they just stay there. People spend too long at the dead end. It would be really stupid to drive down the dead end and just sit in your car and go, well, now what? Margaret, what should we do? That would be really a silly thing to do, but we do that. We go places that go nowhere, and yet we stay there. Number two is this. We spend too long committed to their dead end. Not only are they staring at it, they're committed. In fact, don't talk about their dead end. There's some people that if you talk about the relationship that's abusive, they're not going to be mad at the person abusing them. They're going to be mad at you for daring to bring it up. Because they're committed to this dead end, right? Or their habits, right? Oh, no, don't you talk about my Bluebell homemade ice cream, Pastor, right? But they got these habits, and they're like, no, 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 no. I'm committed. I'm committed. I'm committed. Stand by your man all the way. We're going to do that, even though they're abusing you, even though it's going nowhere, even though it's evident things need to change. We spend too long committed to our dead end. And then third, we spend too long trying to press through our dead end. Just imagine with me, you go down the wrong alleyway, and it's a dead end alleyway, and it's a brick wall. And you're like, it's okay. I just need to push a little harder this time and try to squeeze yourself through the brick and mortar. That would be really crazy. But I see people do it all the time. Rather than seek a new path, rather than seek new wisdom, they just keep pushing on this wall. Surely this time they'll love me. Surely this time, I know I've tried it every time, but this time, surely they'll promote me at that job. Okay? And listen, you've tried it for a decade. If you've tried something for 10 years and you've not gotten the results that you want, I'm just going to be real with you. You got to change. And we keep trying to press on things that are dead ends. And what do? We end up sinking money, time, energy into something that has never worked and may never work. And here's the deal. Here's at the end of the day, the worst part is this. We blame God at the end. Although he wants something new for us, although he wants something else for us, although he gives you the opportunity to change and empowers you to do it and has a wealth of wisdom in his word, although he's done all that and said, I will give you power through the Holy Spirit, although I will do all these things for you, we will stay at the dead end and shake our fist at the heavens and say, God, why? We do it. Somebody say, we do it. So I'm going to tell you today to stop some things. Everybody say, stop.
Stop.
Here's number one. Stop spending energy on what is not working. Stop it. Just stop it. It's not hateful for you to stop spending energy on what's not working. There are some relationships that it doesn't matter if you spend 3 hours with this person. They are not going to get any healthier. They're not going to get any better. They're going to get angry. And they're going to pull you into their drama. So stop spending energy on something that is not working, okay? What am I not saying? Here's what I'm not saying. Hate the person, right? I'm not saying stop thinking about the person. No, you should absolutely pray for the person. But evidently, if you've given 20 hours the last week to the ordeal and it's not helped, maybe you spend 0 hours this week and see what happens.
Right.
And guess what? If it's the same result, you spending 20 hours in their drama, you spending 0 hours in their drama, and they still got drama, it's not about you.
Right.
Don't spend time at somebody else's dead end. Stop spending energy on what is not working. Somebody said that's good.
That's good.
Oh, thank you. I thought it was good too. All right. How about this one? It's a little different. Stop pouring life into dead things. Stop pouring life into dead things. I want you to picture a man who stays way late at his job, like more than 12 hours. I mean, like ridiculous amount of times. He does it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. He spends every waking moment there. And then who pays for it? Really, it's his family. It's his wife. It's his children. It's his other friendships. It's his relationship with his church. All of that gets pushed to the other end because he is at this job pouring his energy into this job. For whatever reason, he says, I've not worked enough after hour 12. I've got to go to hour 14. Now, fast forward. I want you to picture, because the economy goes flip, flippity, flip for a moment. And it does not, no one even loses sleep over the decision to let this man go. You realize no one loses sleep over that? Sorry, no one really loses sleep on that. They're like, glad it's not me. And then they move on. And so now I want you to imagine this guy who has missed his childhood, who his marriage has suffered, who he has burnt himself at both ends of the candle for so long. Now, what does he have to show for it? He has got a cardboard box and he's walking out of there like the biggest loser because he's been fired. And what does he have to show for it? What was going on? He was pouring life into something that will not pour life back into him. You need a marriage that you pour life into, but also pours life back into you. You need relationships. You need friendships that you pour life into them and they pour life back into you. I'm going to tell you this really quick. People ask this kind of question. Should I change churches? Let me ask you this. Is the church pouring life back into you? If you're pouring life into a ministry and it's not pouring life back into you, that might be something you need to think about.
Yeah.
All right? Y'all follow me on that?
Yeah.
Whatever your situation is, are you pouring life into something that is dead? If it's dead, it can't bring you life. But if it's living, if it's vibrant, That is something you pour life into and it comes back into you. Anybody thankful for a relationship with a person where you poured life into them, but they also poured life into you? I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for that lady. She is so faithful to me, and I pour energy and I pour time into her, and she pours understanding and she pours grace into me. That's the kind of relationships we need, and dead ends don't have that. How about this one? We need to stop wasting time at the dead end. When you're a pastor, you get called on weird phone calls and you make a lot of people angry. I remember I was a young pastor and I was called. There's this lady, she said, "I'm being abused. Will you come meet with me?" And so my wife and my newborn baby went to meet this lady at a McDonald's, and her husband's an alcoholic. Her husband's beating her, but she is so certain that her husband's called to preach. I'm like, those things don't go so well together. Right. Yeah. No joke, right? Wow. And I told her, "Listen, I don't know, that might be what God wanted to do with him, but he is not being very good to you and he's being untruthful to you." And she's like, "Are you telling me that I should walk away from this relationship?" I told her this. I said, "He's already walked away from you. I'm not telling you to go divorce this man, but I'm telling you, you are wrong if you think you have a covenant relationship here. This is a dead end relationship. You're pouring life into this person and they're only pouring abuse on you. And so unless they change, you should stop pouring life into this thing that is abusing you." She was so angry at me. She was so mad at me. And I just remember going, her yelling at me in front of my wife and my newborn baby. And I just went, "Oh Lord, she doesn't really even mean that. She's just that hurt over the whole situation." I don't know where she is today. But I'm going to tell you that you can waste time at the dead end. Now listen, I'm not telling anybody to get a divorce here today. Vicky and Jeremy, y'all put your phones down. They're like calling their divorce lawyers. Now stop it. Stop it. Don't do that. But I'm telling you, if you are at a place where there is no change and there's no life and there's no hope and it's always the same, you're at a dead end and you're wasting one of the most precious things you have. It is time. It is time. Some of you do need to look for a new job because you're wasting time at that job. Some of you are hanging around the wrong friends. Not that we hate the friends, we love those friends, but those friends aren't bringing life to you. They aren't directing you towards good things. They're actually standing in the way. And when you spend time with them, you're honestly kind of wasting your time. Don't waste time at the dead end. Stop these three things: spending energy on what's not working, pouring life into dead things, and wasting time at the dead end. You need to learn to be in the right place. Dead ends are kind of like these locations. You need to be in the right place. And the place you should not be is a cemetery, surrounded by dead stuff, dead things everywhere, people saying dead things to you. Dead hope to you, dead ideas to you. Here's a dead idea people will always bring at you. They'll throw in your face your mistakes. Get away from that person that is throwing what you've done in the past back at you. God's forgiven you. You've moved past that. They're still at the dead end. Why are you getting advice from the person at the dead end? Somebody say, get out of the cemetery. So you got to be in the right place. And that's where you need those relationships that you can call and say, "Emergency, meet me at Target. I need to walk around and not feel crazy for a moment." That's my wife's ticket. You might get a phone call like that. "Regina, just get ready." Like, she needs that. I need to be in the right place with the right people for a moment. I had a tough day at work. My kids are driving me crazy. Maybe I need to be at the right place with somebody. Redemption Church, we need to be the right place with the right people, saying the right things. We need to be that. We need our connect groups, our home meetings to be the right place with the right people saying the right things. And what is all of that? It's all full of life, full of hope, full of strength, full of wisdom. And then, so be in the right place with the right people and then do the right thing. Sometimes we're in a dead end because our actions are dead. And if your actions are dead, you're going to stay in that dead end. You're going to not do anything that's really good. Again, we have addiction issues here. We have the way we think and the way we talk. All of these things are those dead things. Be in the right place with the right people and do the right thing. Sometimes things get worse, don't they? Let's talk about this for a second. Sometimes things get worse. Who hates it when things get worse? Who prays that they get worse? Anybody? All right, just making sure. Cleta, stop praying that things get worse. That's your mistake number one. No, I pray that things would get better. Me too. Mo better, somebody said. I pray that they'd get better. But then sometimes things get worse. And so you know where I go? I go here. Why, God? What's that about? Why, God? What is up? I thought we were tight. I thought you had my back. What is going on? And here's what the Lord sometimes will say, if you will listen closely. Here it is. He says, things are worse because you're not supposed to still be here. What if God tells you that? Why are you still here doing this? You're supposed to be over here doing that. That might be God's response. And if you're in the wrong place with the wrong people doing the wrong things, things will get worse no matter how you pray. Get out of there. Somebody say, get out of there. It's like every Michael Myers, Freddy Krueger, Jason Voorhees movie. You're not supposed to be in that house, girl. Get out of the house. The killer's in the house. And sometimes the Lord's like gonna let things kind of atrophy and get bad on you because you are not supposed to be listening to people's drama garbage anymore. You're supposed to have moved on about those things. And that's why sometimes things get worse. Because God wants you to move. Here's another thing God might say. He might say, you're supposed to be learning something here. You're in classes in session. And things are worse because you need to learn some things here. What might that be? There's some wisdom that we need to learn when things are rough. Sometimes it's going through the rough things that teach us. It's not usually the really good. Every coach will tell you it's the losses that really teach. Championships are for parades. Losses are for lessons. And sometimes you'll go through that difficulty, but God's purpose, you're like, why? It's because you're supposed to learn something. You've got a humility issue. Learn that. You're listening to the wrong people. Learn that. You are making decisions without even consulting me, the Lord of glory. Learn that. Learn that. Somebody say, learn that. And there's one more reason I could think of this week. Maybe there's probably more. Diane probably came up with 12 more. But this is the third one I have. Sometimes God says, when things get worse, God says two words, watch me. Watch me. We're talking the Red Sea moments. God literally leads Israel to where they were at a dead end. Because he wanted them to watch what he was going to do. And he splits what was a dead end. God says, watch me. And God is the God of the Red Sea. He parts that Red Sea, and what was a dead end becomes a highway. Now, what's really silly about that situation is those Israelites walked through to victory, and they got to the other side of the Red Sea, and they didn't learn nothing. And they still had a bad attitude, and they still were at a dead end when it came to how they viewed themselves as slaves and how they viewed, they always thought, you know, it'd be better if we just went back to Egypt. They kept saying these kind of things. When things get worse and you find yourself at the dead end, one more time, God might respond because you're not supposed to be here. Change location. Number two, you're supposed to learn something here. Take note. And number three, watch me. Anybody ever been at a dead end but God brought life to a dead end?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I was a dead end at a young age. I was 8 years old and I had suicidal thoughts. I was a dead end at the age of 8 years old. I hated myself. I had no good thoughts about myself and I had suicidal thoughts. I was dead. But the Lord came to me on a Sunday night at a church and he spoke life to me and it worked. Here's how he spoke life. I love you. I ran right into the love of Jesus and I realized, wait a second. I thought I was garbage and you called me son and you love me and you forgive me and you've got a plan and a purpose for me. And that is how God personally turned me, a dead end, into now a life source. Now, not only am I walking in life, but God places life in me so I can walk up to other dead end people and say, that's not who you are. You are loved, you are chosen, and you are victorious through Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Oh, Jesus, thank you for speaking life into dead ends in Jesus' name. But when we come up to that dead end, that's that place where there's no way forward. We were going up, we've gone as far as we can. When there's no way forward, we need to learn how to turn around. Somebody say turn around. Total eclipse of the heart. All right, turn around, bright eyes. No, not that one. I want you to imagine with me, if you just close your eyes, all of this place, everybody online, just close your eyes for a second. Imagine you're in a bad place. And imagine you're in the bad place because you ruined it. It was you. The thing you said hurt the relationship. The thing you did got you fired. The thing, your bad habit came to light and now nobody trusts you. Imagine that. Now look up at me. In that situation, you caused the dead end. Your actions, what you did. Imagine that. Some of y'all, it was all too easy to imagine that, right? I know about it. You did it, and now there's divorce papers in front of you. You did it, and now your car is about to be repossessed because of bad financial choices, and your relationship is destroyed because you lost your temper. You did that, and you're at the dead end job, and you could have applied yourself, but you never really applied yourself, and so you did just that, and you're not taken seriously because you've not been serious. You did that, and you're far from God, and that's not God's fault. You did that. Imagine that bad place, and you did it. You caused the dead end. That's the worst. Thankfully, there is a story in the Bible I want to teach you tonight about a dead end. Dead end Bible story, and it's in Acts chapter 2, surprisingly. It wouldn't be what you would think, but Acts chapter 2, quick synopsis of this chapter. It's a very important chapter. It's where the Holy Spirit comes into people's lives for the first time. People are born again by the Spirit. It's powerful and it gets everybody's attention. How many know our God is powerful? And when he gets put on display, he gets everybody's attention. And so people notice and people start to ask questions. Some of those questions were very negative. Some of those questions were like, what's wrong with you guys? That was it. Why are y'all drunk? That was one of them. Y'all guys are drunk. Y'all been smoking some stuff. These are the kind of thoughts happening in the streets of Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2. Others just, instead of passing judgment, they just said, well, what's going on? Can you tell me about that? And Peter stands up. And what I love is this is dead end Peter. This is the Peter that three times denied Christ. Yeah. when it mattered most, right? Yeah. Peter's like, I don't know that man. Somebody else comes up and says, aren't you one of those? No, I don't know that man. And then third, a little girl comes up and says, hey, are you one of the Galileans that's always walking with Jesus? And he says, bleep, no, I don't know him. He cusses at the little girl. It's like Peter lost his total chill right there. He's cussing at little kids. It's in your Bible. This is dead end Peter. But dead end Peter is now full of life because the Holy Spirit came into his life in Acts chapter 2. And so, whereas other people at other times before the Holy Spirit asked Peter, what up with this? And he denied it all. Now they're questioning him, even accusing him of weird stuff like being drunk. And he says, no, let me tell you what this is all about. And Peter starts to preach to them, and his sermon can be summed up in one word. It's a name, and the name is Jesus. He preaches Jesus to them. He tells them that Jesus did miracles, and that Jesus spoke wonders, and that Jesus was sent from God.
Yes.
Then he goes a little further, verse 36 of Acts 2. Peter then really gets on them. He says, Peter tells them, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified. So those three words. Say them. Whom you crucified. God's made him both Lord and Messiah. I want to tell you what stuck out to these people is, yeah, Jesus is all this, but really what hit every one of them is that I did it. It was me. I caused this dead end. Jesus came to Jerusalem, and we were the ones who crucified him. Whom you crucified it. We did it. I want to tell you, we were not there on the streets of Jerusalem, but Jesus Christ died because of our sin. Jesus Christ went and was beaten for our sicknesses. And he received chastisement, Isaiah says, for our benefit and our peace. Jesus did all of this for us. What does that mean? It means that we did it. Somebody say, we did it. We're just like those people standing in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2, verse 36. We are the ones that are the reason Jesus went and was crucified. So what happens next is interesting. Verse 37, you should learn this story right here. Verse 37, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. Have you ever felt like your heart just was like cut? Like it, whoa, that hit me right in the hut. Some people might say right in the gut, but in the heart, like you felt that, like you felt conviction. You felt like it's true. I am the one. I did the really bad thing. They were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter, what'd they say? And to all the other apostles, they said, brothers, what shall we do? I want to tell you, they're at a dead end moment. They did it. It was them, and they're asking, what shall we do? Why? Because they did not know what to do. It is okay to not know what to do, friends. It's okay. They ask, what can we do? This is a moment where they have no hope, because what just happened, they just learned that the Messiah came, the hope came, the Savior came, the healer came, the deliverer came, everything that they were wanting came, but they killed it. So they ask, what, if anything, can we do? In verse 38, Peter replies, and we're going to just finish this sermon with the one word reply. He says much more than this, but he says, repent. Everybody say, repent. Peter tells people who are caught at the dead end to do one thing first, and the word is repent. In the Greek, it's metaneo. Everybody say metaneo. And it means to change your mind. It means to turn from sin and turn toward God. So somebody say change. And somebody say turn. The hope for dead end people is change. The hope for that person that's been staring too long at the dead end The person that's been pouring life into dead things and dead works, that person, the hope for them is change. Now listen, this is absolutely true when it comes to spiritual life in Jesus Christ, but this is also true in the very natural things that you go through in life. The answer for your job problem is that you need to change. The answer for your marriage issue is that you need to find change for your home. You follow me? The answer to your mental anguish that you're going through and your depression, you've got to find change. So change your mind, change your actions, change your direction, and change your heart. Every part of your life needs to change. Now, what's the part of your life you don't want to change? And that's probably the area of your life you really need to change. The only way out of a dead end is to change. You hate change? I get that. But I hate dead ends enough to change. I hate depression enough to change. I hate that unforgiveness that I carry around that's killing me, giving me ulcers. I hate that enough to change. I hate an unhealthy home enough to change. You got to hate the dead end enough to change. The people in Acts 2 were so angry at Peter. How dare you tell us to change? That's not it. No, that's not true. The people in Acts 2 were thankful. They went from having no hope to being told they can change. And then they did. And if you read on in Acts 2, it says that 3,000 people changed that day. 3,000 people said goodbye to a dead end that day. 3,000 people went, we crucified the Lord, to worshiping the Lord, receiving the Lord, and being baptized in the name of the Lord, and then going and telling their families and friends about this Lord. That happened. What did it? One word, repent. Somebody say repent.
Repent.
Change your mind to turn your direction. That is what it means to repent. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. You can clap your hands to the Lord. I'm drawing to a close, but I've got something. It's a little messy, but we're just going to go there. Here it is. Somebody might think, but Pastor Chris, I don't have a dead end. Oh, really? Let's just attack that a little bit. Okay, if you don't have a dead end, you must have said goodbye to your fear problem. You've still got that fear problem. You still have that dead end problem. And if you have said goodbye to your dead end, you don't have that dead end, you must be just totally full of joy all the time and never experiencing that sadness. Is that true? Or how about this, that you don't experience that anger problem that just boils over every time you drive on I-75? That you don't cuss at people, you bless people. If you don't have that dead end, that must be you. And I'm looking for coffee with you so you can explain that to me. Or how about loneliness? You're not lonely at all because you're not at a dead end. You've got life flowing in you. And let's get right here. If you are not at that dead end, there must be so much life in you and flowing from you. You're bringing people and they're sitting next to you at church and they're getting baptized at the end of the month. Here's the deal. Don't give me that you don't have a dead end if you're not showing lots of life. Yeah. If you are not at the dead end, that means that you're in the living end, that you've got that life, and we want to see that life flowing in us. We want that. Anybody want that life flowing in their home? Who wants to see that life of Jesus flowing in their kids? I want to see it. I want to see the people that I love so much that are struggling. I want to see that life that Jesus gave to an 8-year-old boy. I want to see it reach them and deliver them and heal them. Here's the question. Why isn't there life flowing in every part of your life? If there's a part of your life where life's not flowing, we're not judging you. We're saying, me too. But those parts of our life that life's not flowing, we need to repent. We need to change. I got to say one more thing. Well, like, because I've already poked you a few times, let's do it. Sometimes we think repentance is only about drug addiction or like a certain level of sin that we think is like we deem worse than ours, right? Yeah. Oh, you know, I'm not so bad. At least I'm not like Alex, you know, and like we'll judge Alex and what Alex is doing. I'm perfectly fine. That is doing two things. That is not valuing a person that God loves. And then that is keeping you in a place where you will not change. And when you have that attitude, it's negative in both directions. And it ends up being a dead end. So what do I want you to do with this today? Here's what I want you to do. I'm going to give you a call to action. I need you to know this. You need to answer this in your question. What is your dead end? What is it? Is it a relationship thing? Is it something in your heart? Is it a habit? Is it an action? What is that thing? What is your dead end? And what should you do about it? You should stop. Some of us have those things that we have trouble stopping. You've got to stop that thing. And we want to work with you to do that. I'll work with you to do that, okay? You don't judge me for the Bluebell ice cream that I'm working on. Seriously, I'm working on, me and my wife, we're talking about that. Like, serious. We talked about Bluebell ice cream while you weren't in here. Like eating, like not using food to like satisfy something in us. You know what I'm talking about? To escape, we're having a rough time, so let's eat our feelings. Yeah, it's the baby. Yeah, I'm the one that, pray for me, church. All right. So we need to stop those things. And stop what? Spending energy on what's not working. Stop pouring life into dead things. Oh, Lord, speak to us right about what that thing is. And three, stop wasting time at the dead end. Stop those things. Whatever, you need to figure out what that is. And you should pray about that today. And I hope that you would pray with someone about it today. Open up enough to pray about it. If you want somebody to pray with, I would love to pray with you about such things. But don't just stop. Start. Start new thoughts. Start new direction. Start new actions. When we pray here together, when in a few moments we're going to sing worship songs, that's a moment to think new things. Get new direction. And new action. And then this last thing, repent. Repent. If you've never prayed a prayer of repentance, that is one of the most important things that will ever happen in your life. I'm not kidding. It is huge. It's big. If you've never prayed a prayer of repentance, it is not hard to do. And in just a few moments, I could pray with you. We could pray together a prayer of repentance, and you will be forgiven, and you will find a new action, and you'll find life in that moment, if you will pray that prayer of repentance. So you need help? Come to this front. Ask for prayer. Come right here. I want to pray with you. We'll pray together. These altars are open right now. They're going to sing. Let's focus on those things we need to stop, those things we need to start. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for all my friends watching, listening online. Lord, be with them, God. Lord, help them to start brand new things. Help them to confront the things that are negative in their life, the dead ends. Lord, help us to confess of the dead ends, repent of the dead ends, and turn around. Help us to change our mind and turn our direction. God, we want to turn to you, and we want you to do new things in us and bring life into us, Jesus. We ask you to do it right now in Jesus' name. Come on, let's reach out to the Lord in this place, all over this place. If you'd stand and begin to worship him and begin to sing with us and begin to pray, God's moving in this place with us.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you. So be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550.